News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 27th of December, Anno Domini 2003, and you lucky people, you are listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you are going to get an hour and some 40, 35 minutes of news, views, stuff you can use, all kinds. We'll even answer computer questions on the phone. So give us a call at the numbers you just heard a few moments ago. And we'll be bringing you all of that stuff after we do the news. And I believe as long as you're all sitting down, we're going to start the news with Steve.
Well, I'm going to shock you all and actually have sort of a bad story about Apple.
Uh-oh.
Unbelievable.
I'm sitting.
Unbelievable. The iPod was the hottest computer accessory this year. Every store sold out of them. We got a shipment in last Wednesday morning, and they were gone in an hour.
Whoa. Wow.
So it's everyone.
A whole hour.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Lasted an hour.
Because
that last guy took an hour to come in.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of press recently about the older model iPods that are now starting to be, you know, 2, maybe 3 years old, and their battery life. The battery is a consumable part. It only will run for so many charges. And there have been several cases of people whose batteries have died after 18 or 20 months, and Apple is saying it's a consumable part. Okay, sorry. Basically the issue is that the battery in the iPod is not user replaceable. And the only fix up until recently was to buy a new iPod. And so that outraged and frustrated many people. Apple has since instituted a battery replacement program. So for $99, they will replace the battery for you. And that's basically, it breaks down to about $50 for the battery and about $50 in labor to tear the thing apart and put the battery in. People are still complaining. You know, that's a third of the cost of a new iPod. And so there's a law firm is considering a class action suit out in San Francisco. Basically, the lawyers are smelling money.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
There are several websites around the net, and they'll be posted on our web link list shortly, that show you how to open up your iPod and show you where to buy batteries and replace them yourself. Apple, as I said, has since instituted a battery replacement program for $99. They've also offered a $59 extended warranty on the iPod. And since iPods typically get carried around a lot and they're more easily dropped and I don't want to say abused.
Used.
Because abuse isn't covered by any warranty.
Right, no, just used.
Yeah, they're used a little more ruggedly. We're very strongly recommending the $59 extended warranty on the iPod. But again, the battery is a consumable item. They liken it to tires. You know, if you drive all the miles off your tires, your tire warranty isn't going to help anyway. You just drove all the miles off. And the battery only lasts for a certain number of charge and discharge cycles. No one knows what that number is, though. The manufacturers apparently haven't published it in the public. So if it's 1,000 charges and discharges, or if it's 10,000 charges and discharges, we're not quite sure. So there's a couple of websites we'll be posting. iPod battery shows you how to replace the battery yourself. The one that sort of,
I bet that makes Apple happy.
Well, it's replace at your own risk. It will void the warranty when you open the box, because you basically have to pry the case apart.
Right.
The website that sort of started it all off is iPod's Dirty Little Secret.
.com.
Two brothers basically were mad that their battery only lasted 18 months, and they started putting up picket signs all over New York City and all around the Apple stores down there, and sort of got the public attention and brought this problem forward.
But now, clarify, this is true for every iPod, or the newer ones don't have this problem?
Well, it's... Even the newer iPods, the battery is a consumable part that is not user replaceable.
Right.
So we don't know how long the batteries are intended to last, but basically if they last beyond your 1 year warranty, you're, you know, on your own.
Now this is what makes it different from, say, a laptop, where if the battery goes bad, I can replace it, either buying one from the same company or one of the third-party companies.
Equivalent brands, right.
That sell batteries. And all I have to do is slide the old battery out, slide the new battery in, and right. I win, where you can't do that with an iPod.
Right, and even laptops are the same way. Apple and IBM and some of the other companies have issued service notes that batteries, again, are consumable items. If the battery on your laptop wears out in 8 months
right.
because you've charged and discharged it too many times, that will not be covered under warranty.
Right. Well, I don't think people have a problem with that.
Right.
A battery is a consumable. The problem
right.
is, when it dies, I can't replace it.
Right.
That, I think, is where they have the problem.
Just a simple thing. They should have made it easier to, like you say, in a laptop, changing the battery.
But that's an engineering problem, isn't it?
How
do you make it...
how tiny the iPod is.
Right. How do you make it changeable, keep the... form factor small and the cost down.
And, just a back door.
Well,
keeping people
yeah. out of the rest of the guts of the iPod so they don't
right.
screw that
I mean,
up.
Doing all that just would have added cost. You know, even if you put a metal shield in there, whatever it is,
yeah.
it adds a cost to the iPod. That
and that's one of the criticisms of the iPod is that it's a little more expensive, but for the capacity and ease of use. And one of the rumors we're hearing now is for Macworld coming up in a couple of weeks, Apple might be releasing a cheaper iPod with a smaller hard drive.
But even on that back, that small trap door, if they were to put it back there, you put a seal on it. That's guaranteeing, you know, that if you break the seal, then
well,
you
right. But what I'm
it.
Saying is, it just adds cost, and what they were doing clearly was keeping the cost down and not thinking ahead. We want you to think ahead, which means in a couple of minutes, we want you to come right back here with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
On Tuesday, December 30th, RochesterForLess.com will offer a special deal with Auto Accessory World. With two locations, Auto Accessory World can service all your car and truck accessory needs. Car stereos, rims, lighting, mobile video and cellular, security systems, and more. Don't miss this special discount deal on Tuesday, December 30th. You can get a $50 gift certificate good toward a remote car starter for only $25. Check out RochesterForLess.com for more details.
Nissan 2003. It's been a great story. We've brought you rugged utility with the Nissan Xterra. Stylish inspiration with the Nissan Altima. Nissan Frontier's tough capability. The reliable fun of the Nissan Sentra. Powerful exploration in the Nissan Pathfinder. And now, during Nissan's national year-end event, we're bringing you 0.9 APR financing or up to $2,500 cash back on the inspiring new 2003 Nissan Xterra, Altima, Sentra, Pathfinder, and Frontier. Why? Because every great story deserves a happy ending. Get 0.9 financing or up to $2,500 cash back when you purchase most new 2003 Nissans. Don't miss the Nissan National Year-End Event because these offers end January 5th. Nissan. Shift the possibilities. Financing for well-qualified buyers. Cash back not available on Altima and some leases. Take delivery from new dealer stock. See dealer for details.
The Goodyear Stockroom Clearance Tire Sale is going on right now. Our stockroom just can't hold any more tires, so we're clearing out a wide selection of popular Goodyear passenger, performance, and light truck tires. Plus, when you buy four selected Goodyear tires, you'll get up to a $50 cash card. But hurry, the Goodyear Stockroom Clearance Tire Sale and $50 cash card offer both end January 17th. Don't let these great deals pass you by. For complete details, call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit any participating Goodyear retailer.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today and get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Greenshield Computer Services. Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Bob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're still in the news, and now we're going to talk today. Dave?
Do I have
to? You don't have to, no.
Okay. All right, another email scam out there, folks. What they're doing is there's a scam out there that if you've got a Visa card or that, they send you an email saying, to update your security and everything else, we need you to go over to this site and put in some information. The minute anybody gets an email stating that they should go over and re-put in any information. I don't care whether it's from Visa, MasterCard, whatever, any store, anything.
Any website that you go to, anything.
I would automatically stop immediately, pick up the phone, and call that place directly. Do not be putting any of this information, because what it was is it was a hacked site. They've since taken that one site down. But they were leading people over there and asking them to put in all this information.
And a lot of them look so legitimate because they've taken logos and graphics and the general design.
They literally
page.
Copy it and they more or less. Matter of fact, Visa wasn't even making any comments. Visa International, rather, wasn't denying or anything else. They're kind of trying to lowball all this one as much as they can as far as getting out there, because that scares a lot of folks. And a lot of businesses and trade was done over the Internet during the holidays.
And Visa and MasterCard don't have anything to do with your credit card. Your bank issues the card to you. It's not Visa. It's your bank's card.
Visa doesn't actually care what you're using in passport.
So what I would strongly recommend to anybody, if you get any of these suspicious letters stating, we lost your information, or we're going to be doing updating of the information, do not fill that out. Call that particular company, organization, or whatever to verify that they sent you this and that they really, truly need it. Because you know what? If they really do, the next time you go in to, say, put in Visa card information or anything else, it's going to probably come back and bounce at you and say, sorry, but you've got to contact a representative to update this information.
If, in fact, you did respond to one of those emails, then you immediately need to call your credit card company and tell them your credit card's been stolen.
You got it.
And most banks, even for checking accounts and whatnot, and debit cards and credit cards, have online banking now. I log into my bank every day and watch the things post.
Yeah.
And
watch the money go down.
Darn it.
Goes out faster than comes in.
Yeah, but I know, if there's an unknown charge, I'll know within a day or two.
Yeah. Right. Right, but you want to know ahead of time. You want to tell them ahead of time.
Yeah.
We can't stress enough, ignore it, delete it. If they really want that information, they'll get in contact.
Yeah, never use one of the click-through URLs in an email message. If you get something like this, log into your bank directly with your name and password and your secure website.
Yep. Yeah. On the Microsoft front, a really interesting thing in the news this week. Microsoft believes they have found a way to make spammers pay for email. Spammers send out tens of millions of emails to unsuspecting computer users every day, but a group of researchers at Microsoft think they may have come up with a solution that could at least slow down and deter the spammers. The development is called the Penny Black Project. Because the Penny Black is the idea that revolutionized the British postal system in the 1830s, and the first stamp was called the Penny Black. Senders of email should pay for it, not the people on the receiving end.
Right.
The payment wouldn't be currency, wouldn't be money, but was in memory and computer power required to work out certain cryptographic puzzles. So for any piece of email you send, you take a small amount of computing power, about 10, 20 seconds, for that individual. And that proves, so for example, if I go to send you email, they're very scant on details right now because they haven't handed it or anything yet. But basically, if I send you a piece of email, before you open that or anything else, your system, you don't even know what's come in yet. Okay. Your system sends me back a puzzle. My machine solves that puzzle.
Okay.
Then sends me back the result. Then I get the email.
Hmm.
Now, they're saying that rather than being based on any of the standard cryptographies, which the faster your machine is, the better that goes. It's based on a whole bunch of internal algorithms that require swapping in and out of memory a lot. So every one will take between 10 and 20 seconds to send. So given that, you know, there are only so many seconds in a day and so many, you know, there are about 80,000 seconds in a day, about 10 seconds per thing, you'd only be able to send out about 8,000 messages a day at most.
That slows some of them down.
Yeah.
But just think about the burden on the Internet itself. It's already too slow. We're going
to
have all these extra messages.
But you
only have
to do that the first time. Once you're legitimized to me, I can put you in a whitelist, and then that doesn't happen again.
Until someone spoofs the address and fakes the headers.
Well exactly. I think they've got a lot of work to do, but it's an interesting, you know, they've talked a lot about what to do about that. I have my own website, asknick.com, where I send out all kinds of messages to people, emails, newsletters, thing, you know, that sort of fare. And I charge people a fee to be on the – there's a pay side and a free side. And if you're on the pay side, you know, I've got thousands of people so that I send messages to every week. So it would take, you know, 9-10 hours to send out an email, and that would be on the server, that would be a lot of work. Now, these people could immediately put me in a whitelist because they know they want to get stuff from me. But again, the question is, how do you unspoof things? How do you protect it? But it's an interesting concept to start with because it would put the burden, not monetarily, but in terms of work, it would put the burden on the spammer. And I got to say, I love that idea.
Yeah.
I'm using Spam Nicks, which sits inside Eudora.
Mm-hmm.
They just updated it. I hardly see any spam at all anymore, but I've got thousands and thousands of items every day in
there. I use that McAfee spam killer, and it's totally eliminated it for me.
I love it. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show you'll ever hear, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
After you watch the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, talk about the Bills all week long on Wham! Monday morning at 7:15 and Monday night at 7. CBS commentator and former Bills All-Pro Steve Tasker. Tuesday night at 7. Get the inside scoop from longtime Bills analysts Leo Roth and Larry Felzer. Wednesday and Friday nights at 7. Anything goes with Bills Wall of Famer Freddie Smerlis. And every day, comprehensive Bills coverage with Brad Davies and Bob Matthews. Watch the Bills on Sunday, then follow the Bills all week long. 1180 WHAM.
Well, it's that time again. The time when Galleons lowers their already guaranteed low price on the gear that's pretty new and advanced to make room for the gear that's even newer and more advanced. It's the Galleons year-end clearance event, and you can save up to 50% store-wide, which means tremendous savings throughout our planet-sized store on the latest footwear, gear, and apparel. Save up to 50% on men's, women's, and kids' winter outerwear. Save 40% on our entire stock of clearance men's, women's, and kids' footwear. And save up to 50% in our camping, tennis, hunting, fishing, golf, and skiing departments. At these prices, the best gear, footwear, and apparel will disappear before you know it. So hurry in while supplies last and help us make some room for that stuff you've been waiting for. And other stuff you didn't even know existed. The Galleons year-end clearance event going on now. Galleons Sports and Outdoor Adventure. What's next?
Right now, Red Lobster presents endless shrimp, endless oohing and aahing, endless fork twirling, endless eating with your fingers. We also present endless sauce dipping, and come to think of it, endless refills. During Red Lobster's endless shrimp, enjoy all the plump, mouth-watering shrimp scampi, freshly breaded shrimp, popcorn shrimp, and shrimp pasta you can eat. And while it is endless, it's only for a limited time. Now, at Red Lobster.
Finding something you can rely on is easier than you think. I'm Norm Miller, chairman of Interstate Batteries, and our batteries are just around the corner from you. sold at over 200,000 retailers. Heck, we're in every county in the U.S. And that means it's easier than ever to own the Interstate battery peace of mind. Because with one of ours, you'll hear this. Instead of this. Call 1-800-CRANK-IT or visit InterstateBatteries.com to find the dealer nearest you. Tested, trusted. Interstate Batteries.
Legal questions or comments? Then be sure to join me, Rochester attorney Frank Sigelski, for Answers for the Injured this Sunday night at 7 on 1180 WHAM.
These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're going to get to the phones in just a minute, but before we do, I want to talk about our trivia. Every week we have a trivia question. This week's fabulous prize, your very own personal copy of Star Office 7. Generously donated by the folks at Serverware Corporation. And this is a an office suite for Windows or Linux or Solaris. It'll also run on the Mac.
Yep.
Under OS 10. And it's a word processor, a spreadsheet, a presentation program like PowerPoint, all kinds of stuff. You can save files. As it'll read and write the entire Microsoft Office suite document formats without a problem.
It's great.
It's phenomenal. It'll save files as PDFs directly. It'll save presentations in Flash format. It's just a terrific product. $70 list price. We're giving away a copy for free. And all you have to do is answer our trivia question and then come pick up your prize here in the...
Answer it correctly.
Well, yes, answer it correctly. Thank you very much. You have to answer the question correctly and pick up your fabulous prize here in the luxurious Wham! World Headquarters high atop the second floor of the Euclid Building in the corner of Midtown Plaza. And this week's question, which was the first company to market a computer based on Intel's 386 processor? Which was the first company to market a computer based on Intel's 386 processor? Answer that question
correctly.
And you could be the winner of a copy of Star Office 7. Thank you. We back each other up here on Soundbites. It's what we do. And before we get to the phones, I hope everyone had a magnificent holiday season. Those of you who celebrate Christmas, I hope you got all the goodies that you wanted, that Santa was very good to you. For those of you who did get what you wanted for Christmas, I'm sure you're on the right line right now asking questions about those things. And our first caller is Linda from... What?
Actually, I was going to say that I read some articles in the paper about the Druids. We're celebrating solstice.
Yes.
So we can't forget them.
No. Everybody, that's what I said. Everybody has some sort of holiday that they were that they were celebrating. I celebrate Christmas, and so that's when you get...
Kwanzaa just started.
Hanukkah's just about over. I'm talking about the Christmas presents that you're going to have questions about today.
Yep.
So our first caller, Linda from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Have a nice Christmas.
Magnificent. Yep. Thanks. How was yours?
Good. Got a question.
Yeah.
And it's based on something brand new.
Excellent.
How do you connect a wireless router to my computer and then to a notebook?
You don't. The wireless router is the central point of your network.
Right.
Each computer will have to have a wireless card in it in order to talk to the wireless router.
Unless
they're wired, yeah. Most of the wireless routers you can run either wired or wireless, depending on what's in your computer.
Well, usually it's the computer closest to the wireless hub. You usually run a wire just to save the expense there, because you usually have network cards in them. You just run a wire from that computer up to the wireless hub. Now, any of the other computers that are going to, say, be wandering around the house or in the next room or all that, that's where you're going to usually need the wireless cards. And you just set them up with TCP/IP, the same work group, if you want to then get into...
Yeah, you can share files, or you can just share the internet.
Printers.
No, I've only got one computer. Right.
So the big trick is that you need to match the wireless formats. If you have a B router, you should get a B card. If you have a G router, you should get a G card.
Let me see if I understand you. With the wireless router... I've got a computer that's maybe 2-3 years old. It has Windows XP Pro on it. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I have to get a card to put in my computer?
Yes.
No, wait.
Unless it already has
that's
one.
That's already got a card in it, Linda. You already were hooked up. Well, you were already hooked up to the internet, correct?
With yeah, that? I got Roadrunner.
Yes, you just hooked that.
Well, that's the wired card.
I've also got a router for the firewall.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay.
If you want your computer to access the internet wirelessly,
uh-huh.
you must have a wireless card in the computer.
So I've got. So now, with the wireless router, will it tell me what kind of a card I'm going to need?
No, wait a minute.
Not specifically. Whoa. You need to know what kind of router it is.
Linda, do you only have one computer?
Yes, sir.
Why do you need a wireless? Is it a laptop?
Yes.
All right. So you're going to be traveling around the house with this? Then?
Yeah, our backyard, yeah.
Right.
Okay. I thought you were still using your big tower computer.
I do have that, but I've got the other one now,
right.
too.
If you look at the front of the wireless router, it will probably say on it somewhere if it's an 802.11b or 802.11g.
And a lot of these newer laptops, though, come with built-in wireless.
Yeah, you have to check the manual for your laptop to see if it has wireless
yeah.
built-in.
Well,
if it doesn't, you need to add a card.
No, well, this one does, and it came with a router already, you know, in the package.
Well, the router and the card in your computer are two separate pieces of hardware.
No, I'm saying the machine came with the wireless card in it.
Okay.
And it's also giving me a free router, wireless router.
Okay.
And I just wanted to know how easy was it to hook up.
Well, basically, if you connect, the simplest thing is if everything else is working right, if you've set up the internet connection in your computer to go through the wireless router.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is connect the wireless router to your, you say you have Roadrunner?
Mm-hmm.
To your cable modem.
Okay.
Turn it on.
Uh-huh.
Wait about 10-15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Turn your laptop on.
Mm-hmm.
You're there.
Oh.
And on your laptop, you'll need to tell it to connect to that wireless router.
Right. The first time you try to connect, it'll say, you know what? This isn't secure. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll say, yeah, go ahead and connect anyway.
Okay.
And then you're on.
That's what I need to know, guys.
That's yep. what you know, then.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Wireless is nice, I have to say.
Oh, yes.
They're talking in the news recently, too, about how unsecure it is, and there have been a couple of cases where someone was sitting outside of a house hijacking the wireless network and surfing for, in the specific case I read about, they were surfing for kiddie porn. The guy got arrested, and they're threatening to prosecute the homeowner for not securing their network.
Right. One of the things you need to be aware of is that anybody can get on your if you don't secure it, anybody can get on your system.
And it's a trade-off between making it easy for the legitimate owners to use and hard for the, you know, non-legitimate owners to get access to.
Yeah. And hardening your wireless router is a little beyond the scope of what we do here, but there should be information in your manual on how to do it. And basically, it's a matter of going to a specific website on the router itself and entering the MAC addresses, the hardware addresses of the wireless cards that you allow to go through your network. Once you've done that, any one of those cards can hook up any time. Everybody else gets a no thanks.
Yep.
That's it in a nutshell. Our next caller is John from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I'm trying to install Linux on an XP computer.
Uh-huh.
I got a 40-gig hard drive with XP on it and a 10-gig hard drive with Mandrake 9.2 on it. So I think I've got no problem, except it refuses to boot because it can't find the 10-gig hard drive.
Is this a partition or a separate drive?
It's a whole separate drive. I think my problem is a controller card that the hard drives are running through, but I don't know how to get around it.
If you go into this computer's BIOS, does it see both hard drives?
No, the computer only sees the 40-gig.
Then something is wrong, either
the
hard drive, the controller, or the cabling.
Your cabling or your jumpers on the back of your hard drive, but it's not seen, or your cabling, if the ribbon cable is not hooked up correctly, the red edge of that cable should be near the power source, so it's near pin 1.
Right.
If you flip it, it'll hook up, But right. It won't see the drive.
Yeah, you see, the drive has always worked under FAT32. You see, the 10-gig drive has always worked.
Maybe it's...
So I think it's hooked up right.
It might have just coincidentally failed, either the drive or the controller card.
Can you hear it spinning up?
No. And the problem is, like now, like I can't go into Windows. The Windows doesn't
If you're not hearing that 10-gig hard drive spin up, 10 to 1 odds, it's a dead drive.
If you remove the 40 and just put the 10, does it boot?
I haven't tried that.
Try that. Let us know. That could that will give us a good indication as to where the problem lies. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Glendaviers, the perfect setting for your special occasion. An elegant, charming banquet facility nestled on 10 secluded acres in Penfield with a history of great custom parties. Perfect for ceremonies outside in the gazebo or inside by the wood-burning fireplace. Glendaviers, with its English country decor, can serve up to 200 guests. Glendaviers is located on the private Old Browncroft Road off Browncroft, across from Ellison Park. Glendaviers, a place for gathering, perfect for all occasions. Call us today at 288-5870. Make your affair a date to remember with Creative Caterers, a full-service caterer with 25 years in the business, bringing you wonderful foods cooked on-site in our mobile kitchen. Creative Caterers can accommodate all events, from weddings to office meetings, specializing in breakfast and lunches for all business occasions. Quality service on time. That's why people have been calling Creative Caterers for 25 years. Whether it's a small party or a lavish event, choose Creative Caterers. Call 288-5870. 288-5870.
Soundbites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
This message is brought to you by Salino and Barnes. It's a busy holiday season, and this reminder is to hand over the keys to a friend or family member if you've had too much to drink. Establish a designated driver. This holiday safety message is presented by Salino and Barnes, the largest personal injury firm in Western New York, 454-2020. Salino and Barnes wish you and your family a safe and happy holiday season.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
Contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton. And this is Soundbites. For the last time this year, I'd like to apologize to everyone for the fact that we've used contact as a verb. We're going to go back to the phones.
Probably
now.
Will for next year, too.
Exactly right. Our next caller is Jim from Farmington, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Same to you.
I've recently been having some problems with my email. I seem to be getting some returned email that seems to be coming from me. In other words, somebody's turned my computer into a spam machine.
It's you may rest assured, Jim, it's unlikely to be you.
Right.
If you are running the Security Tango, which you can do, you can read all about it at our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. You can get to the Security Tango page, and as long as you're running all of those things, you can be assured it's not you. What's likely happened is that someone who has you in their address book has contracted one of the viruses that sends stuff out using a name in the address book as the from.
Oh.
That's one other way. That's one more level of misdirection they use to hide who really has the virus.
Oh.
I get them. I get return messages that I know I've not sent out. And trust me, I know I don't have a virus.
And I get people that are helpful and saying, you've got a virus on your computer. No, I've got a Mac, so no, I don't.
Yeah, right. I send mail from my Linux box. No, I don't.
Yeah. Well, I keep my antivirus updated religiously, and I downloaded Stinger, and that didn't show nothing. And
those
I
return emails, just delete them.
Just delete them.
Someone,
they're not from you. Certainly someone you know
is infected.
Is infected. But how, you know, I suppose you could panic everybody you know, which is not necessarily a bad thing when it comes to viruses. Just you might want to send out an email saying, look, I've been getting these returns. I know it isn't me, so it's one of you who has me in your address book.
Great.
So you should check it out.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you. Our next caller. Angelo from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Angelo. What's your question?
How you doing, fellas?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Well, I haven't been bad since Christmas. I got a new camera.
There you go. Digital?
Huh?
Digital?
Digital camera.
How do you like it?
Don't. I haven't been able to get it to work. That's my problem. It's Kodak 6200.
Mm-hmm.
Comes with the EasyShare software. My computer fits all the requirements. Followed the instructions, installed it. Every time I turn on the camera, it hangs the computer and shuts it down.
What operating system?
98.
There's your problem.
Yep.
98 doesn't handle USB very well.
Did you do the 98 updates to the USB?
I've done all critical updates.
No. This is not a critical update. What it is
it's critical
it is
to you,
critical,
but
yeah,
Microsoft
it's critical
doesn't
you,
think so. Yeah.
But Microsoft didn't think it was critical. And what you got to do is go out and look for the USB update patch from Microsoft. And install that, and then install the software for your camera.
I believe that's on our web list, and I'm looking for it now to make sure.
And if it's not, Steve will put it up shortly. You install that, and you're on your way.
98 did not support USB very well. It's a well-known fact. And if you had gone to XP or that, it would have worked fine.
Yep. Our next. No. We're going to take a break now.
Huh. Yeah, that's the music in your ear,
that's what the music's about, exactly. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If you think the colder weather makes drivers stay home, you're nuts. It just makes them drive worse.
Hey, fool, you better slow that car down.
Swerving through fog, hydroplaning across wet roads. That's if they manage to defrost their front windshield in the first place. We can't do much about bad drivers, but we can make sure you avoid the problem instead of getting stuck in the Wham Highway Patrol. Mornings and afternoons on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Depend on it.
On Tuesday, December 30th, RochesterForLess.com will offer a special deal with Auto Accessory World. With two locations, Auto Accessory World can service all your car and truck accessory needs. Car stereos, rims, lighting, mobile video and cellular, security systems, and more. Don't miss a special discount deal on Tuesday, December 30th. You can get a $50 gift certificate good toward a remote car starter for only $25. Check out RochesterForLess.com for more details.
Rochester's official winter weather station, News Radio 1180, WHAM, Rochester.
Channel Worldwide.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're back. Now, before we get back to the phones, just to make Rob happy, before we get back to the phones, I'm going to talk a little bit about our website at soundbites.org. Again, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And I'm going to talk about our trivia question. We'll start with the website. On our website, you'll
we did
find
good, though, this week in the poll.
Yeah. What?
Rob did good.
Rob did good.
Rob is leading us all.
We have a poll every week. Last week's poll, we had 299 people vote, putting us at number 44 in the all-time hit list. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you who voted. Last week's poll was about Christmas. Now, we've had a three-week running what
this
I want for Christmas.
Kick butt, though.
We had a 3-week running What I Want for Christmas poll. The first week, the choices were Peace on Earth, New Hardware, New Software, or Steve Ray Unwrapped. The second week, for Christmas, I want Goodwill Toward All, a digital camera, a laptop, a desktop computer, a PDA, Dave. Or Dave Enright Unwrapped.
Dave is unwrapping as we speak.
He is. He's taking his clothes off. It's kind of interesting. And last week's poll for Christmas, I want universal peace and love, a secure operating system, a great graphics program, a better email program, a new office suite, or Rob Linton Unwrapped. 229 votes, number one. I'm delighted to say the first week, number one was Peace on Earth, followed by New Hardware, followed by Steve Wright. The second week was Goodwill Toward All, followed by Dave Enright Unwrapped. And the third week, Universal Peace and Love, followed by a secure operating system, followed by Rob Linton Unwrapped.
And Rob is leading us, both in the number of votes and in the percentage.
Yes, Dave and Steve both got 16% of the votes.
But wait a minute, you got to divide it by the number of categories. You and I had more categories to go against than he did.
No, actually, he had more than you did. Look.
Yeah, no, I've got two.
He's
no,
got
I'm,
twice as many as Steve had. And
hey, let me see that.
No, I've got
you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's just because he's so young and pretty.
He is young and pretty.
Did you say pretty?
Yeah, he's so pretty.
He's so pretty. He's a Mac guy. What do you want?
He feels pretty and witty and bright. This week's poll, thanks to Dave. I forgot to put Dave's name up on the poll, but this is Dave's
poll. Well, I figured
poll.
If you were going to get us into it, you tried to sit there and get out of it.
Well,
No. I've already got the 3 weeks settled.
Yeah.
I ain't going to let you slide.
You're right. I didn't slide. For 2004, I promise I will back up my data weekly, update and run my antivirus program several times a week, check for spyware weekly, and imagine Nick as the new year baby.
And the current leader is?
And the current leader, we currently have 72 votes. Shockingly, I am in the lead with 44% of those votes, or 32 votes. Imagine me as the new year baby. Back up my data weekly is second. Hopefully that'll just leap ahead in the poll throughout the week. Update and run my antivirus program several times a week and check for spyware weekly.
We're going to have the live cam. Nick is a New Year's baby.
Now I'll be, for the first time ever, I'll be going around to all my machines in the lab and voting for anything else. Once you have entered your poll choice, And let me remind you that the choice nick.com, and thank you, and enter an opinion. And this week's opinion, of course, is how long do you think your New Year's resolution will last, and why? And we've actually had, I believe, one that was from Ken Cooper, that actually had to do with the question, which is kind of interesting. But you can then enter your opinion on the poll at my website, asknick.com. So please go to soundbites.org, vote early, and vote often in the poll. Now, before we go back to the phones, let me remind you about this week's trivia question. The fabulous prize is a copy of Star Office 7 from our friends at Serverware, and it's an office suite that would completely replace Microsoft Office. It does everything Office does, reads and write Office format and more. Like I said, you can save files directly as PDFs. You can save files as Flash. It's just phenomenal. And all you have to do is, A, answer the following trivia question correctly, and then, B, pick it up during office hours at the Wham Studios in the Euclid Building in the corner of Midtown Plaza. And the question is, which was the first company to market a computer based on Intel's 386 processor? We're going to go back to the phones now because Jim is waiting to talk to us and has been very patient. So, Jim from Greece, what's your question?
Yeah, is it the New Year's yet?
Not yet, but you're very close.
Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I got a Christmas present. I'm upgrading my operating system from Windows Millennium to Windows XP Pro.
Yay!
All right. Santa Claus is good to me.
Very good.
And my question is there any advantage one way or the other to using the quick upgrade versus the new installation option in the guidebook as to how to install this.
Time.
Yeah.
The upgrade is faster. The new installation is better in the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is this. If you do an upgrade and there were any problems at all in your registry, chances are phenomenally good that they will follow into the new upgrade.
Okay. Well, I don't want that because I do have some... I've got several players that use this computer,
yeah,
and I've got some
cleaner
things happening on the computer that I'm looking to get rid of.
A new installation will clean all that out. The problem is you will need to reinstall all of your current software. So if you have an Office suite, you'll need to replace that and graphics program, everything.
Okay, that's not a real problem.
The data will still be there, but...
No, it won't. If you do a
clone. If he moves it over to another...
Right.
Right. You'll want to back up all your data first.
Right, right. A lot of my files I copied over to a CD.
Good.
Yep.
And I've got several things backed up.
Make sure everything's backed up. Back it up twice.
Okay.
You know, that extra cost of the CD is
or
worth your peace of mind.
Or just move it out. If you got an extra hard drive as a second drive, just copy everything over just as backup over there.
I don't have that option.
Well, make another CD then.
Okay.
Better to have two. Better to have one to throw away than to not have enough.
They're cheap enough to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is there anything I need to do for my internet? In as much as I connect through MSN.com, is there anything I need to do there? Or?
Remember your username and password.
And
that's it.
If you want to retain all of your currently saved email, that makes things a little trickier.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah?
Right. Email. What email program are you using to read your MSN email? Probably Outlook Express.
Outlook Express, yes.
Yeah.
Outlook Express makes it a little difficult to transfer email to another computer because it generates random strings of characters in your ID
but you
field.
But you can export the DBX and MBX files. Which is your mailbox.
You have to export your mail and export your address book so that you can later import them into the new email program.
Basically, they become text files. You then back up those text files to those two CDs.
Okay.
Then when you install it again, you go back in and you import the address book and you import the email.
Okay. Sounds like I should be able to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Just take it carefully and slowly.
Yeah.
Think out each step.
Read every message completely
twice.
Understand it before you click OK.
Never blow by a message.
Yeah.
All right.
Okey-doke. Especially the one that says, are you going to erase your hard drive now?
Yeah.
All right. Okie doke. Good luck. It'll be an exciting adventure for you. We'll be hearing from him next week. Our next caller.
Or I'll be getting a call at the shop.
Yeah, right. Whitney from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Whitney. What's your question?
Hi, Nick. I just want to take a shot at the trivia question.
I love the fact that you're going to take a shot at the trivia question.
Okay. How about Compaq?
How about Compaq? You are a winner, Whitney. Excellent. Well done.
What was the model name?
The model name? Let's... I don't know. It's pushing it.
Yeah, that's pushing it.
It was probably the Compaq 386.
Yeah.
But yes, the very first company to market a computer based on Intel's 386 processor was Compaq. They beat out IBM and made a fairly huge deal out of the fact that they had done so. Very nice, Whitney. Stay on the phone, please.
Okay.
And Rob will take all of your particulars, those that concern us,
yes,
so that you can then come up to the studio. And pick up your fabulous prize.
Okay, great.
Congratulations. You'll love it.
Oh,
you will
you.
Love it.
And thank
you. I also found a really neat website on the history of Intel processors, when they were released, what they could do, and things like that.
Cool.
And that's on our link list at the moment.
Excellent. Great. Thank you very much. We're going to take, now that Whitney has won the trivia contest, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. On the greatest computer show ever, including the one that gives away all kinds of neat stuff, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hollywood's best releases are at the Regal Cinemas, now offering the Crown Club Loyalty Program. Free membership, fast registration, earn free movies and concession items every time just for seeing your favorite movie. Gift certificates also available. They never expire and can be used for box office or concession purchases at over 400 Regal Cinemas nationwide. Stadium seating, amazing digital sound, senior specials, Super Saver discount tickets. Catch all the new releases at the Regal Cinema at Eastview Marketplace or Culver Ridge. See you at the movies.
What makes this land of ours so great? I say freedom of choice. And I'm not talking about free trips to the salad bar, no, my friends. I'm talking about the things our ancestors fought for. Like the freedom to compare over 900 TVs till you find one the size of Rhode Island. I'm talking about the thousands of merchants with millions of righteous products for you to compare and choose at PriceGrabber.com. Yes, diversity made our nation great. And so we stole that idea to bring you one of the most diverse shopping sites on the internet. Price Grabber is where hard-working homies like me can find great products from ripping names like Sony, Microsoft, and Nike. Most of all, Price Grabber is where shoppers of every race, color, and creed can pick a product category and shop themselves right into a coma.
PriceGrabber.com. Comparison shopping beyond compare.
Tired of holiday traffic jams and crowded malls? Check out PriceGrabber.com, where you can find top-name brands from thousands of merchants, all from the convenience of your own computer.
The holiday may be over, but there's still plenty of candy left at Row Photo Video and Audio. This time, it's ear candy, locale, and very high D.
Row Solution.
Klipsch, Paradigm, and Definite Technology. These audio sweeteners have been recognized by top audio magazines as the best there is. If the speakers in your house are just part of the furniture, you may be getting sound, but you're not getting audio. If you want your home theater system to drive the dog under the table, you need mains, you need center channel and rear speakers, you need a subwoofer. If your speaker cones are stiffer than peanut brittle, it's time to step up to the absolutely astonishing advances in audio technology. Listen to the highs as sweet as cotton candy and lows that'll rock the house. Hey, it'll even make these singers sound good.
For photo, video, audio, you'll find it all in a row. You'll find it all in a row.
Row Photo, Video, and Audio. 1737 Mount Hope. Sweet New Year's deals on a very sound investment.
Closing in on 10 consecutive years of broadcasting, it's the Brenna and Brenna Law Forum this Sunday morning at 8 on 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to go back to the phones in just a minute. But, you know, we were talking today about, I just want to give kudos to the folks at CLSS Enterprises who host the Soundbites website.
And he also hosts my website, NIPC.
Right.
So Jesse Girl.
And ask Nick. .com, yep. Yes, absolutely.
Pretty much everyone in Rochester.
Yeah,
he does. And a lot of other places. You'd be shocked at how big
company Jerry is. Well, Jerry does unbelievable.
Yep, the folks at CLSS just do us proud. They do great work for us. We're up so 99.9% of the time, as you know, five nines is.
Yep.
Is considered the thing to shoot for, and believe me when I say they hit it every time. And, you know, we were just looking at the inordinate amount of bandwidth we use every month, and the amount of disk space we're using to put all the graphics and things up. You've got to be delighted. I'm delighted at the work they do for us. Can't say enough about them. Great folks.
Adds to the enhancement of our website, you know, the great
exactly
performance
right
that they do.
And it's fast and it's clean and it's terrific. And I want to thank one more time the folks at CLSS Enterprises just because they do such great work for us. Another unsolicited testimonial, ladies and gentlemen. Our next caller, Joel from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Joel. What's your question?
Hi, this question is for Steve. I have been a Mac user, but unfortunately I've gone over to the dark side. But I still have one 233 megahertz G3 remaining. I'm thinking of putting Linux on it. Can you suggest a free release of Linux and where I can find it to put on the Mac?
We run it on a couple of our old iMacs at the office as well.
Hmm. Okay.
And if you want to, you can boot it into command line only and not have to deal with the GUI.
Okay, thank you.
Interesting, yeah.
There's also the newest,
Is it yellowdog.org? I'll find the URL.
Yeah, we'll find it. Might be already up on our website. There's a new version of Linux from the Red Hat folks called Fedora, and I believe that also that runs on PPCs. I don't know that it runs on. I don't know what the chip in your machine is.
Yellowdoglinux.com.
Yellowdoglinux.com, redhat.com, Debian. I believe the Debian distribution runs on Debian.org, D-E-B-I-A-N, Debian.org. The big thing about which one you use is how easy it is to install versus how easy it is to use. Debian is not as easy as some others to install, although it's pretty easy. But once it's installed, updating is phenomenally simple. Adding new packages is phenomenally simple. The same thing is true of the new Fedora project, although that doesn't have as many packages available. Debian has about almost 9,000 software packages pre-compiled for it. So it depends on what it is you want to use. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to deal with, and there's an amazing amount of stuff. If you've got a fast connection on almost all of these, you can download an ISO image, which you can burn to a CD. Obviously, you want a fast connection to do that. But once you've done so, then installing it is simply a matter of sticking the CD in and go. You know, stick the CD in and go. There's one for PowerPC, which I suspect, for Debian, which I suspect is works under on your machine. So it's just a matter of finding one you like. And that's a religious thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't argue religion unless you're there. Buying the beer.
You know, it's bad enough with the religious arguments between Mac and Windows. Now each flavor of Linux has their own religious arguments.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. So, the brand you use is more to do with how easy it's going to be for a beginner to use. Fedora is very easy to install. Mandrake is very easy to install. Debian is easier than the others to update, and more packages are available for it. So it really depends on where you want to go. I'm finding Fedora to be a pretty hot little product, although I also like Debian a lot. So that it comes down to a matter of religion. And our next caller, James from Rochester, New York. Welcome, James. What's your question?
Hi, I'm 16, and I'm buying a new computer.
Excellent.
And I want to get a gaming computer.
Yep.
And I'm that kind of person, and I've concluded on the XP for the operating system.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I want to know which one is better for games and stuff, Athlon or Pentium 4?
For a game, you should get a Nintendo GameCube. If you're really into games, you should get a dedicated gaming console.
Either or.
Computers are nice
because
they'll also do games.
Yeah. Intel, though, probably I'd lean towards a little more so than the AMD, although the AMD chips, are very good also.
You find a lot more hacks and overclocking tips on the AMD. Most of the hardcore gamers will try to tweak their processors. So instead of running it at 1.8 gigahertz, they'll run it at 1.85 gigahertz.
Right.
And try to push the envelope a little bit more. So you can run 62 frames in Quake instead of just 60.
But I'd go with the Intel chip. If you're going to be a gamer, then at least a gig of memory. 128 meg video card.
At a minimum.
Minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more memory you have, the faster your processor, the faster your CD drive, and the faster and more memory in your video card, the better off you are.
You might want to go for a serial ATA hard drive because they're faster than the parallel
new
ATA
serial.
Ones. Yeah,
right.
Well, one thing that I really was really wanted to know about is I was reading through one of my magazines, and most of the things there are Athlons.
Yeah.
And they said the Athlon is the thing of the future because it's 64-bit. Is that that affect things?
That's not the Athlon. That's the Opteron.
Yeah.
Right. The company AMD has a 64-bit chip. The reality is that it'll be a minimum of a year, if not longer, before any of the products that you buy, any of the games you buy, will be available in 64-bit.
So they won't work?
Well, they
They'll work in 32-bit emulation.
Right. The Intel system won't work in the Intel 64-bit system won't work in 32-bit emulation. The Athlon will.
As will the IBM Power 970,
right,
that Apple's using.
Right, right. So it depends on what you get. But you know what? At that point, you're going to be 18 by then, and you'll have saved up enough money for yet another new machine.
And you're going to probably need it if you're that serious of a gamer.
Yep.
So will things not work if I got a 64-bit? Will it be too advanced for them?
Right. You won't find programs. See, programs have to be written for 64-bit processors.
You're going to be all dressed up and no place to go.
You won't be able to buy software that runs on it. The software you're buying now only runs on 32-bit processors.
Okay.
There you go. All right. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, all of you. And lots more fun on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Michael Savage.
Aren't you liberals glad you have me to kick around? What would you do without me? You know that as much as you say you disagree with me, you know in your heart that if, God forbid, you woke up one day and I wasn't there, you wouldn't know what to do with yourself. You'd have no one to kick around anymore.
Michael Savage. Weeknights 8 till 11 on News Radio 1180. WHAM.
So, folks, you like this car?
Yeah, we'll take it.
Great. What will you give us? Do I hear 30,000? How about 25, 24, 23? Do I hear 22?
If this is what buying a car sounds like to you, then you need to see us at Riverside Chevrolet this week. Hi, I'm Dave Borndrew from Riverside Chevrolet, and now through the close of business December 31st, I'm selling every new in-stock Chevrolet at the General Motors supplier price. It's a special price marked clearly on the factory invoice for GM suppliers, and this week it's your price too. All invoices will be posted in our showroom for your inspection. Plus, you get all factory rebates or financing as low as 0% APR. No sales pressure, no fast talk. Just GM supplier pricing for everyone through December 31st. And be sure to check out our pre-owned clearance center, where you'll find all makes and models of used cars and trucks all posted with year-end clearance prices. The deadline for GM supplier pricing for everyone is December 31st. So hurry to Riverside Chevrolet, just 5 minutes south of the airport on Scottsville Road.
With approved credit on select models, must be from dealer stock. Excludes Corvette and SSR, cannot combine offers.
Don't take chances with an old, weak battery this winter. If your car's battery is more than 3 years old, get to AutoZone for a new Duralast battery today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
The following conversation is real. It took place on October 8th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Senate, this is Terry. How may I help you?
I just like the keys in my truck.
All right, I'm sorry to hear that happen.
Yes, it's been a rough day.
Now,
but I know you can help me.
We can help you. We'll turn all that around for you.
Thank you.
Do you have your home phone number?
610.
If you need your vehicle doors unlocked, an OnStar advisor can assist you.
Is there a phone number we can call you back on?
Luckily, I have my cell phone in my pocket. It's 484.
Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
Hello, this is Terry with OnStar. Your door should be open now. You want to check it?
All right. Oh, I've never had to use the service. Oh, it's open! Happy! I can go home.
All right. Is there anything else we can help you
with? Oh, no, you've done great enough, and I thank you.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
Wham's Bob Matthews.
Keyshawn is a bad apple, bad actor, and a bad guy to have on your team.
Weeknight, 6 till 8 on the Sports Leader. News Radio 1180 WHAM. They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. And this is Soundbites. Taking a quick update of the website. I still seem to be in the lead. How exciting for me. 83 votes online, and so far we seem to have 13 votes in the, or 13 opinions on the opinion
page. Of course,
page.
You know, if you do win the poll, that puts you in number one, which means next week you got to show up as the New Year's baby.
I do, huh?
Yep.
I actually...
I am.
I suspect that by now, that worried. Believe me when I tell you I'm not that worried. Our next caller is Jack from Irondequoit. Welcome, Jack. What's your question?
Hey, Nick, you guys do a great job for everybody. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We are very appreciative.
I've got a real problem with RealPlay. I was trying to update AOL, And I ran into a problem. I get this illegal operation message, and I can't figure out a way to get rid of it, and it seems to be keeping me from getting online or anything. And I wonder if you know how I could get rid of that.
You get that whenever you try to sign on to AOL.
Well, the minute I turn the computer on, it comes up now.
And it's definitely from RealPlayer.
It says RealPlay, and it says legal operation, and then it says a VIDP3260.dll.
Have you tried uninstalling RealPlayer?
Well, I'm not sure how to do it.
You can go into the Add Remove Programs, scroll down to RealPlayer, and uninstall it from there.
What likely happened is that did you put in AOL 9?
Well, I was trying to, but I had 4, and they said you couldn't go from 4 to 9, so they wanted me to go to 6, or, you know, and that's where I got into a lot of trouble.
And each version of AOL comes with its own players that apparently conflicted with the player that you already have installed.
I see.
So your best bet is probably to try to uninstall AOL and uninstall Real, and then reinstall AOL.
Before doing Real.
Now, how do you reinstall a program?
Put the CD back in.
Or double-click the installer file that you downloaded initially.
I see. Well, thanks a lot. Do you think that'll work, huh, Phil?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that seems to be the best place to start when something like that is really causing a problem, an access violation.
But once you uninstall them, reboot the machine, too.
Between uninstalled, yeah. Right. So it's a clean boot.
All right.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okie doke. Thank you. That's a tough one. You just got to...
I kind of like those new AOL commercials with Jerry Stiller and Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yeah,
and
the fish.
Yeah, the other one with Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham, Tom Bosley and...
I haven't seen that one.
And then there's another one with Peter Graves.
I haven't seen the Peter Graves
one. Oh, that's very funny. That's actually very funny. They're doing some nice things. They're making a little fun out of it.
And making fun of themselves, too, about all the CDs, AOL CDs.
Well, I love the one with the fish.
Yep. That's Jerry Stiller and Snoop Dogg.
All right.
You're using that Snoop Dogg CD next instead of an AOL CD.
Okay, our next caller is Joe from Buffalo. Joe, are you there? Hello,
Howdy.
Joe.
Howdy.
Hiya, Joe. What do you know?
Well, I think the name you're looking for is Marion Ross.
Marion Ross. Thank you. Yeah.
There you go.
Unfortunately,
that wasn't a trivia question, but thank you.
Well, you know, be a quite a drive to Rochester to come pick up my prize anyway. But
that's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, got excited to see that ACLs are now part of Linux, and I was trying that out. But, well, the error message what I got was operation not supported. Any sort of clue as to what I might need to do? My suspicion is this is not a feature that's supported by X2 or X3, and I'll have to use some sort of different file system. What do you think?
Did you download the latest kernel?
Actually, I had my own 2.4.21.
It's in 2.6.
But what?
It's in 2.6, and it was part of 2.5, but
I was also tried the latest Red Hat 9 errata kernel, and part of the, you know, Red Hat distribution are the tools to that FACL and all
right,
that.
Right.
So I figured maybe it was that I need to use Ricer file system or something like that. Well, I'm just wondering if you've had any experience with that.
I have not yet. But it does, I believe you're right. I believe it uses, you have to at least upgrade the file. Hold on. There's a stable. It was slated for 2.4.21. Most of them come with ACL support. Red Hat 8 springs to mind.
Yeah, well, yeah.
ACLs run on top of EAs. You can be pretty sure the distribution must have support for it.
We thought the acronyms were bad in the Windows and Mac world.
This is a Windows acronym. ACL is an... excuse me. I beg your pardon. I need to back up, don't I? An ACL is...
You're bad as Tony over there, rattling off code in your head.
I apologize to each and everybody who is sitting there now breathing through their mouths as their eyes slowly fold up into their foreheads and their skin goes clammy. Wait a minute. Let me explain to everybody else what an ACL is. It's an access control list. This is something that also exists in the Windows world, and it's basically the part where you get to say, you know what? You can come in and you can't to this set of this structure. Actually, Windows Linux already does that and very well based on a couple of other things, but here you can granularize it to say not only the people in this group can come in, but only you.
Yep.
So it's a pretty neat deal, and the theory is it looks, from what I'm reading, I haven't played with it myself yet either.
I haven't played with it.
That's all.
Yeah.
But it looks like
I started playing with it today.
We'll post a message in our forums, and Tony will answer in a couple of minutes.
And the other thing was this: I was wondering if you've had any experience in installing and using that new Fedora project.
I have installed it. FC1 is a Fedora Core 1, they call it.
Yes.
Fedora is what Red Hat Linux, I guess, used to be. Red Hat used to have a free home version and then enterprise, I guess they call it, version that you pay for support and service and all of that stuff. They're dumping the home version from the Red Hat project and moving it into the Fedora project so that there's less confusion about who pays for what and who gets what and what happens where. And Fedora Core 1 is the current version. Fedora Core 2 should come out shortly, I think.
Really? That soon?
Well, within the next 6 months. Considering
okay.
You know, waited a year for FC1, I suppose that's short. But it's pretty nifty. I've put it on a couple of machines now. It's definitely a first effort, and so there are a couple of video cards that it doesn't work well with, et cetera, et cetera. But in general, I haven't had any serious problems with it at all. If you've got an odd computer setup, then yes.
No, I have a Dell Precision.
It should work. You can check it out at redhat.com. There's a link to the Fedora project. There's all kinds of support groups, and you can look through the email messages and search for your machine and see if people have had problems with it. I personally have had no problems with it on any machine I've put it on. I've tried it on a couple of laptops and a couple of desktops. It's been fine.
The only thing that scares me a little bit about it is that they say in the release notes that they're getting away from the XFont server and they're using something totally different.
Not yet.
Not yet?
They're talking about doing that, yes.
Oh, okay.
The problem with the X server in general, for those of you who don't know this, Linux is basically as is every operating system, there's two parts to it. One is the underlying operating system part, and then the other is the graphical front end. The X system, the X Windows system on Linux, is the graphical front end. You can run all kinds of stuff on top of it, like GNOME or KDE or Window Maker or whatever. You're not stuck with one front end, but they all run through X. Now, X is about 25, 30 years old, and so they're talking about updating it to add new features, to change the way it works, to match the new hardware configuration.
All those years of playing X-Tank are gone.
Oh, no. The theory is you'll still be able to do all that stuff. It'll just happen a little faster and a little better now. One of the differences between Windows and Linux in terms of stability and safety is that under Windows, all of the graphic things run at the lowest possible level in what we call ring zero of the system. That is completely unsecurable. So that's where a lot of the problems in Windows come from in terms of crashing and people taking over your system. That doesn't happen in Linux, but the problem, of course, means that now the graphics under Linux run just a tiny, tiny bit slower. For the average user, not a big deal. For the gamer, a huge deal.
Which is why I recommended the GameCube to an earlier caller. It's a dedicated gaming computer, has specific gaming chips. All it does is games, so it can do them very, very well.
Right, but I think take a look through the project, read some of the specs and some of the FAQs and some of that stuff. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Nissan 2003. It's been a great story. We've brought you rugged utility with the Nissan Xterra. Stylish inspiration with the Nissan Altima. Nissan Frontier's tough capability. The reliable fun of the Nissan Sentra. Powerful exploration in the Nissan Pathfinder. And now, during Nissan's national year-end event, we're bringing you 0.9 APR financing or up to $2,500 cash back on the inspiring new 2003 Nissan Xterra, Altima, Sentra, Pathfinder, and Frontier. Why? Because every great story deserves a happy ending. Get 0.9 financing or up to $2,500 cash back when you purchase most new 2003 Nissans. Don't miss the Nissan National Year-End Event because these offers end January 5th. Nissan. Shift the possibilities. Financing for well-qualified buyers. Cash back not available on Ultima and some leases. Take delivery from new dealer stock. See dealer for details.
This message is brought to you by Salino and Barnes. It's a busy holiday season, and this reminder is to hand over the keys to a friend or family member if you've had too much to drink. Establish a designated driver. This holiday safety message is presented by Salino and Barnes, the largest personal injury firm in Western New York, 454-2020. Salino and Barnes wish you and your family a safe and happy holiday season.
Happy holidays from Wilson Farms and Sugar Creek, your Price Right neighborhood food stores. Having a party? Don't forget the Labatt Blue or Blue Light. Pick up an 18-pack bottles or cans for just $9.99. Only at Wilson Farms and Sugar Creek.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Where does Rochester turn for objective financial information? To Money and More, hosted by the Partners of the Horizon Group. Every Sunday morning at 7 on 1180 WHAM.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet service, call 262-2485.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Bob Limpin.
And you're listening to Sound Bites. I have to say, it's kind of interesting to think back over the years at the changes that have occurred on this show. We started out with a bunch of people who had problems with Windows 3.1.
Mm-hmm.
One or two people
and
running
DOS applications.
And a lot of DOS applications, a lot of Lotus 1-2-3
mm-hmm.
problems. And
I know Lotus 1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3. And you know, we graduated to Macs and higher versions of Windows. Now we're starting
doing a lot of dial-up modem questions. Remember back in the BBS days?
I remember at one point.
And the common answer was dial another BBS and see if it's your modem or
yeah.
Right. We used to tell people all the time, dial the fraud pond.
Yeah.
Yep.
At 271 pond, I remember, was the number. BS1 pond.
I wonder who owns that now.
I know. Don't call it now because it's not up anymore. And we used to tell people, I know that's up because I just dialed it, so yep. you can dial it and you'll know if it's your modem. And now we're getting questions about Linux. I'm learning Linux as fast as I can. Tony is our real
guru.
Linux guy. But there are lots and lots of changes that are coming to the industry, and here we are in the thick of them. So.
What are the next 15 years going to show?
I know, exactly. So stick with us over the course of the lifetime of this show. We'll have covered dang near every fascinating and esoteric thing you could possibly want to know about anything, I think. Our next caller is Juan from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Juan. What's your question?
Thank you, guys, for taking my phone call.
My pleasure.
I don't know much about computers, but I'm pretty sure this is a pretty easy one for you guys.
Yeah, the questions are always easy, Juan.
Well, my son has a computer game, and we installed some before, and now there is a new one that we're trying to install.
Yeah.
It says that it needs 64 MB or something like that in order to install it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into the system, and I wanted to help.
Sure.
And, you know, delete some of the other games that were there, remove some of the other programs that were there, actually, and still not taking the the one that he wants.
Does it say it needs memory or disk space?
Yes, memory, yeah.
Okay, you deleted files on the disk. That has nothing to do with your memory.
Yeah, it's hard disk space.
That's disk space.
The memory is the thing that counts up.
How much memory do you have in your computer? When you turn it on, it should count up how much memory there is?
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know much about computers.
What operating system are you running?
It's a, I have a an HP Pavilion. It's a 64... MB and 40X.
So 64 megs of RAM. That's probably the problem, that there's not enough memory for the game to run, too.
And what operating system? Yeah. Windows 98 or?
98, yeah.
Okay.
Here's the other thing. You need to do one of two things. You may need to increase the amount of memory in the system.
Okay.
And you can bring that to pretty much, how old is this machine?
It's about 4 years old.
In that case, you can bring it to any reputable dealer in town. Two of them are sitting to my immediate left here, Enright PC Management and the Jesse Group. There are many others in town, of course. And you can bring it to one of them, and they will increase the memory for you. You also want to make sure that it wasn't asking for 64 meg of video memory.
Yeah, that could be.
Because a lot of the newer games require a lot of video memory, and that has to do with your video card. The newer games require a lot more physical RAM, actual RAM in the machine, memory in the machine,
okay,
and much higher-end video cards with more memory right on the card.
And that's what
a
we were
computer
trying
that old probably only has 1 or 2 megs
exactly
of video memory.
That's what we were trying to tell folks before the holidays was, if they're going out and buying games for their kids and their computers and then getting them home, they unwrap them, go to install them, and then the kids are very disappointed because the thing won't run.
Right.
Yeah.
It's because they didn't take the time to look at the side of the box, looking at the minimum system requirements to even run it. And that's not
double,
even a guarantee.
Double the minimum is a good suggestion.
Yeah,
right.
So you need to know your processor type, you know, Pentium 2, Pentium 3.
How much disk space?
The speed, how much free disk space you have, how much memory you have, and how much video memory you have.
And what video card you usually want. Quite often they've got recommendations.
Yeah, someone will say need an ATI, need a Radeon, need a NVIDIA, need a Voodoo.
Yeah,
exactly. So I'm afraid you've got a little bit of work to do on in order to get this machine up to spec. What you might want to think about doing is take the machine and the game with you to a vendor.
Okay.
And tell them, make this machine meet this requirement, but don't do any work until you talk to me.
How much do you think something like that would cost me?
It depends on what the message is. You know, diagnostics, we do diagnostics for $30 to just tell you what we'd have to do if you decide to go ahead with the repairs, the diagnostic charges put against your bill.
Okay, then where do you suggest me to go again?
We're at Enright PC Management, and we're at 70 Empire Boulevard, 0.6 mile from 590.
Okay.
Right across the street from
St. Ambrose Church.
Thank you very much, guys.
Blue house with a red door.
All right.
And so, and currently the sign is still leaning up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too cold to get the old one out.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be spring for that. I just had the new front door put on the back, the lower entrance. But the red door is still out front.
One.
Yeah.
Lower. I love that red door.
Yep.
That red door is probably going to wind up staying, even though my wife isn't with me right now.
That was one of our early sayings we had on Soundbites. What's the big red switch on the side for?
Right, now we'll say,
what's the big red door in the front for?
That's going to be the front door to the house.
No, I think it's great. It makes people, you know, say we're the house with the red door.
Yep.
You see the sign, you see the red door, you know you're in the right place. And besides, a lot of people will think you're an Episcopal church.
There we go.
There you go. You win. Our next caller is Lee from.
Now you just
I'm sorry.
Saw the wife on that.
I'm sorry, Rob. Were you involved in something more important than running? I beg your pardon. Next call.
We just had another call coming in.
I didn't say a thing. I was just, you know, doing my thing, you know, that I looked like I was busy.
No, no. And
because
that's why
if I did, I mean, that's I'm really good at that. I'm not doing a thing.
Our next caller is Lee from Parma, New York. Welcome, Lee. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm one of those lucky people that got an iPod for Christmas.
Ooh, congratulations.
Thank you. And, I've been using iTunes for about a month to play CDs and such. So I already had the latest version 4.2 that came out last week. Now I'm starting to import my CDs, and it will lock up everything. I should say this is on a PC. I'm running XP Pro. And it seems to be very, very random, very sporadic. I can load in maybe 5 disks worth, and then it'll lock up. Or I could, then I have to do a hard reset, and then it'll lock up on the first disk. I've tried moving it to, saving it to different hard drives, and I've also tried putting the CD in my read-writer drive versus my DVD drive.
Have you looked for any updates for the software?
iTunes. Yeah. They had an update last week. 4.2
last week. Okay. What encoding format are you using?
I'm using the AAC.
XP should be able to handle that.
How old is the machine itself?
The machine is just a little over a year.
Are you sure it has USB 2?
I'm rolling it through FireWire. It has FireWire card on.
And you've got an updated driver for the FireWire card.
Yes.
And this is when you're importing the CD?
Yeah, this is when I'm importing the CD. So
not when you're
I'm not trying to move it. Yeah, it moves things to the iPod, no problem. This is just trying to build the music library, too.
Oh, in iTunes itself.
And, I mean, I'm starting to think that I might have maybe a bad memory.
How much memory do you have?
256.
Oh, for XP? No, you need a little.
I know, I need 512.
Yeah. A gig.
You need 512. You want a gig.
Yeah, right. If you're going to be doing
The only other time this has happened, I mean, I've been able to run VisualStudio.net on it, which is very memory intensive and never locks up. I've had Symantec antivirus lock up occasionally when doing a scan.
You've got to do the complete security tango.
And the antivirus might be trying to scan the CD while you're importing the CD.
I turned off. That was the first thing I did was they turned off.
I've actually had trouble with, I've got an older Mac with iTunes. I got a bunch of CDs for Christmas, and I'm importing them all.
Mm-hmm.
And the third or fourth CD almost felt like it was going to melt in my hand when it ejected. It's like I'm overworking my 5-year-old CD drive.
Well, another data point I noticed was, on Steve on the top where it shows the progress through each track.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed, and then it gives the speed that it's reading it at.
Mm-hmm.
It'll start out at like 12x, and then when it's about to go, it's down below 5x.
What device? The IDE chain, your hard drive and your CD drive, are they on separate chains?
I am writing to a FireWire hard disk, an external hard disk.
That ought to work. If your system is slowing down that much, then it is very possible that it could be a heat problem.
Okay.
Do the CDs come out hot?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me more like a physical problem than. Do you have a CD ripper?
You mean another program?
A separate program that'll just rip CDs.
Yeah, I have. I have Cakewalk Pyro.
Fine, whatever it is, do yourself a favor in terms of testing.
Okay.
And just rip it a dozen CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And see if the problem happens.
But after you get them on the hard drive, you can still import them into iTunes.
And import them from there.
Is there a way, once they're on the disk, to convert them from MP3 to the AAC format?
Shouldn't the iPad program do that?
I think as I know, iTunes only does ACC on import.
Let's not get out of our... I'm just talking about in terms of testing.
Yes.
Rip a half a dozen or a dozen CDs and see what happens.
Okay.
See if, in fact, there is no problem. If there is a problem, now we know the problem is the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's probably just going to be a matter of replacing the CD-ROM drive.
Well, see, that's why I moved it to the other CD-ROM drive, and the same behavior happened. My next step is I have another system that had the hard drive crash. I'm going to replace the hard drive and try it on that and see if I get the same behavior.
Yep. It is also possible that it is a bad installation of the software, of the iTunes software.
And since you are ripping it to the FireWire drive, we've got the FireWire card and the drivers there.
Yep.
Try ripping from a CD on one IDE chain to a hard drive on another separate IDE chain.
Okay.
And see if that does it.
Import.
Might be latency issues going to the FireWire drive.
Right.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, that music tells me we're done for another week. I want to thank each and every one of you who called in. I want to apologize profusely to those whose calls we did not get. Please call earlier next week. Don't forget, vote in our poll. So far, 91 of you have voted.
We're going to be on Wednesday?
The theory is we're going to be on this coming Wednesday, at 11 to 2 here on WHAM. So give us a call and talk to us. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and I'm Nick Francesco. Soundbox at 1180 WHAM.
Urgent flu news. It has been reported that this flu season could be worse than usual.